Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. This is the Prophetic Hour, and this is your host, Prophet Lynn Templeton. Today's show is called the Nicolaitan Church, and we'll jump right into today's teaching. But first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Prophet Lynn Templeton. Some of you remember me from back 3-4 years ago when I was a regular here on Blog Radio, the Prophetic Hour. We are renewing the Prophetic Hour show. Will be every other week. But I'm a prophet. And I've been called for 10 years, and I have received extraordinary knowledge from God directly, as God told me that he was going to teach me everything directly. So the knowledge that we give you here is revelation knowledge, and it is unlike what you'll find elsewhere. On that note, I also need to mention that my wife, who has her own calling, not based on my call, but on her own calling, supernaturally as well, she is a prophetess. She has an MBA in business, and she has also a certification, a degree from Bible College. And other certification, and she shows up occasionally, so to note that fact. Now, let us get into today's teaching. Again, it's called the Nicolaitan Church. This is one of the churches that is mentioned in Revelation 2. There are several churches that Jesus discusses, and two of the churches crossed over into a second category as well as the first category, and that is the Nicolaitan character of a church. Now, each one of these, by the way, is of the seven churches on the Nicolaitan representing you might say an eighth we'll say an eighth category. But these are characters, church characteristics that you'll find today. Jesus was describing the future. He was not describing the past or the present. He was describing the future, churches in the future, and how they developed certain characteristics, and these characteristics, some of them, are not desirable. And so he was chastising those areas that were not desirable. The Nicolaitan was a particular crossed over into other churches, in particular the Church of Ephesus and the Church of Pergamos. Now, this Nicolaitan concept is a false doctrine that is brought into the church, and this doctrine has facets of itself, several different facets. And the most important aspect we'll discuss today, now I'll mention that some of the facets has to do with the bringing in of holidays that are not God sanctioned. But in the most grievous part of this doctrine we'll spend the most time discussing today. Now, let's look at what this Nicolaitan and this word means first. Let's look at, I Googled this, and I also looked at the electronic dictionary aspect. And here is, this is what it says. It says Nicolaitan. The first Greek part of the English word Nicolaitan is Nikos. We use the English equivalent instead of the Greek, as we shall. Nikos is defined as a conquest, victory, triumph. The conquered, and by implication, those who are dominant over the defeated. Remember that. That is very important. Those that who dominate over the defeated. Nicolaitans means, here's another aspect of the definition, Nicolaitans means the bishops and prelates of the church have gained a triumphal victory or conquest over the Laitan. Let's look at that word prelates. That's newly introduced into this equation. The prelates, bishops and the prelates of the church have gained a triumphal victory. Prelates, when you look that term up, it means a territorial prelate is sometimes called a prelate nullus, from the Latin nullus, diocese, prelate of no diocese. Meaning the territory falls directly under the jurisdiction of the Pope and is not a diocese, if I'm pronouncing that right, under a residing bishop. So let's summarize all of these definitions. So the first part is saying that the word Nikos, those who dominate over the defeated, in this case, the church, dominate over the church people, those poor in spirit, low self-esteem, or simply being simple people. So in the word Nicolaitans also means the bishops, and the prelates of the church have gained a triumphal victory. So these prelates are those who are tied to the bishop, who are part of the system. So the conclusion, the first conclusion we come to, is that these terms, it means the bishops and the prelates, which are ministers and elders, lord over the people. And this is how it was broken down in the second definition. Those that lord over the people, the bishops and the prelates representing the ministers and elders of the church. So the ministers are lording over the people. And what this means is that the ministers are using their positions to boast themselves to be bigger than their members. They're boasting themselves to be more important. When you go into a church and you hear them say, Pastor so-and-so is the bishop of our house, and they go on and on with that expression, then you know that this is a pastor who is lording over the people. The ministers, Jesus meant for the preachers to serve by example. You hear that? Jesus meant for the ministers to serve the people by example, to show them how to live and how to follow his ways. They are not supposed to lord over the people. They're supposed to minister the word to the people. Allow God to work through them, by deliverance and other means, deliverance, healing, reversing of misfortunes in their lives, correcting the circumstances in their lives by demonstrating the power of God, which is 1 Corinthians 2:4, demonstration of the Spirit and power, and by serving the community. They are not supposed to promote themselves over the people or exalt themselves as superiors. Your calling doesn't make you superior. It makes you the leader of that church. You have a important role, but you're not supposed to be served. You're serving the people. They are not supposed to be bringing you water in expensive cups, any type of service in that regard. I mean, if they choose to assist you so that you can perform your duties, then that's acceptable. But you're not supposed to lord over the people if you're a minister. And in particular, this came about because as a result of the bishop system. Now, here it comes. God never intended for the Catholic, the Catholic power structure to be indoctrinated or intertwined in the church. This is not the order that God structured for his church. God never intended the church to be led by bishops. And that's what we have come to. Jesus' order was that the head of the church be defined by Ephesians 2, verse 19 through 20, which says, Ephesians 2, 19 through 20, "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation." The church foundation is built upon the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And Jesus came as a prophet. All this other mess that you have heard is baloney. Jesus came as a prophet. He was the chief cornerstone. He called himself a prophet. And all this, I've heard them say things that was just totally error. So Ephesians 2:20 is saying that Jesus established the foundation of the church upon the apostles and the prophets. That's why he came himself as a prophet. And the reason being is as follows. But first let me say that Jesus, when he conducted church, he taught the people. He delivered the people. He healed the people. Jesus did all of those works, and you find them in the Bible, everything that he did. He did not have people serving him water. He did not have people bringing him stuff. He did not even though he was God over the people, he did not lord over the people. But he is Lord. But he came in the position of prophet to example to the ministers that would follow, to the apostles and the prophets. The apostles and prophets are different than any other title in the church. Okay, that's why it's the foundation, as Ephesians 2:20 says. And in a prophet and apostle, both are seers. You see, an apostle can act in both offices, being at the highest level. He is also prophetic. Many of them call themselves prophets. You see, because an apostle is the highest position. So many times when you see the word prophet, is speaking of both prophets and apostles, because both are seers and they have special abilities which allow God to do through them what he can't do through other ministers. God can easily speak through an apostle or a prophet. He can act through an apostle or a prophet. He can heal through an apostle and a prophet. And he can correct the people in the church through an apostle and a prophet. So this is the uniqueness of these two offices. And that's why the Bible is telling you the foundation being the leadership position, is apostles and prophets. You see, God has direct access and can speak at that moment through an apostle or a prophet, or he can act in that moment, at any given moment, through these two individuals. So that is the uniqueness of that position, and no other minister have the power, have the ability that these two offices have. The evangelist doesn't have that ability. The minister doesn't. The teacher doesn't. Now, a bishop is nothing more than a minister. Okay? He is a minister. And even in the Catholic order, a bishop is in one building, and he is over those ministers in that building, in that particular church. He does not have multiple churches. But this system that they have now, this false doctrine that they developed, you have bishops that have multiple churches. This is what the apostles are supposed to do. And the prophets assist the apostles in that order. They have polluted what God has put in place. Okay? This system is a Nicolaitan system. Whenever you see a bishop over the church, is supposed to be an apostle, okay? An apostle and prophets are the foundation of the church. And so we have a false doctrine order that is ruling predominantly in the church today, because most churches, most ministers report to a bishop. And you can see from this teaching the meaning of Nicolaitan. It says the bishop and prelates, which is a word for pastors of the church, have gained a triumphal victory over the Laitan, or the members. So these are false doctrines that most churches are following. They have become the Nicolaitan churches. So this is an error that needs to be corrected. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. And I want to thank you for joining us here today at the Prophetic Hour. We will normally be at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and we will have service. We will teach also occasionally on Wednesday. Right now I'm looking at every other week, so I won't be on, we'll be on next Sunday, but normally we'll skip a Sunday. So just wanted to give you that information. If you have been blessed by this, you can reach us at prophetlynn@comcast.net, or you can reach me by cell at 901-618-5465. That's all I have for today. This is Prophet Hugh for joining us here at the Prophetic Hour. And I hope you can join us again next Sunday. May God bless and have a great day. So long.